improving accuracy in various war conditions.
The competition comprises 20 different items. Some of them are team competitions and others are individual competitions. The contest tries to challenge the competitors' skills in shooting, physical preparedness, and promptitude, among others.
The event came as part of Russia's International Army Games 2022, which hosted over 270 teams from 37 countries and regions. From taking down moving objects to shooting at distant targets, the International Snipers Competition offered a real challenge for some of the select shooters from different countries. So organizers say those who made it to the top are among the most capable shooters in the world. Yusuf Jalali from the city of Yazd.
Hundreds of people attended the Friday prayer in front of the Red Cross office in the Gaza Strip in a move to express their sympathy and unity with Palestinian prisoners inside Israeli jails and detention centers. They came to drum up support for Palestinian prisoners who kicked off a series of protests last Monday against persistent mistreatment inside regime jails. The event is part of the Friday of Rage in solidarity with Palestinian detainees. During the Friday sermon, Hamas movement warned the Israeli regime against harming Palestinian prisoners.
Our military wings, including the Qassam and Quds brigades, and the military wings of all Palestinian resistance factions, are all united behind the prisoners. We will spare no effort to secure the release of the prisoners. Harming Palestinian prisoners is an attack on all Palestinian resistance factions.
Over the past 4 days, Palestinian detainees held in 24 Israeli prisons have refused to take part in security checks and returned their meals. They also organized sit-ins in prison yards as part of their protest action.
The Israeli prison service reneged on understandings that were previously reached with prisoners' representatives. It imposed punitive measures, including moving tens of detainees to solitary confinement, preventing inmates from going to the prison yard, and banning prisoners from meeting their families. In response to this, the Palestinian prisoners have declared the state of general mobilization last Monday.
In recent weeks, the Israeli prison service increased its oppressive measures against Palestinian prisoners by imposing double isolation on some detainees. Observers say the Palestinian prisoners have become propaganda material for candidates in Israel's elections.
Palestinian prisoners are escalating their actions because they demand better detention conditions. The suffering of Palestinian prisoners increases every time the Israeli regime plans to hold elections. Israeli officials are using the oppression of prisoners as part of their election campaigns.
Currently, there are some 5,000 Palestinian detainees in Israeli prisons, and that figure includes women and children. According to prisoners' advocacy groups, the Israeli regime has detained more than 1 million Palestinians since the Nakba in 1948, under the watchful eye of the international community. Ashraf Shanan, Gaza.
If you're a British citizen waiting for a package to be delivered by Royal Mail, expect a delay. More than 100,000 of the company's workers, hailed as heroes for working through the pandemic, have walked out of the job to fight for a wage rise amid a deepening cost of living crisis.
To come into this action, to get your members motivated.
We didn't create this crisis. The oligarchs in every society, the people that are taking dividends and profits, feeding their own fat tummies and making our people wait for a decent pay rise. That's what's causing inflation. But it's also what's causing bitterness between the classes. Now, we've got to make sure that we rebalance that equation.
The bosses at Royal Mail, a 500-year-old multinational, now privatized postal service, claims the Communication Workers Union, which represents these strikers, has rejected a pay rise offer worth up to more than 5% after 3 months of talks. The union's leader says that's simply not true.
The reason why it's a lie is because it doesn't exist. It's a total fabrication and it's been spun to the media, embarrassingly really, to try and make the company look as though they're being reasonable when what they're actually doing is just disgraceful. So the real situation is that the company made £758 million profit. The company gave away over £400 million to major shareholders and then imposed a 2% pay increase to the workforce.
The walkout is being described as the biggest industrial action of the summer so far, which has already seen workers strike across the railways, ports, and the courts. They all come at a time when the UK is grappling with its highest inflation rate and soaring energy prices in decades.
Today's strike action is the opening salvo in a dispute that could reshape a British institution. And the strikers tell us that they're in it for the long haul. Saeed Purizam, London.
Yuan has held an automotive exhibition titled The New Era of Yuan's Automotive Industry. The event provides an opportunity for auto parts manufacturers and automakers to establish better bonds and meet the needs of the industry and the market through joint cooperation.
We have plans to reform the structure of our automotive industry as well as the relations between auto parts manufacturers and automakers. Moreover, under the plan, the overall promised production target will be achieved in 2025.
According to a report released by the International Organization of Motor Vehicle Manufacturers, OICA, Yuan has been ranked the world's 19th biggest automaker in 2021. Based on the OICA data, Iranian automakers produced almost 900,000 vehicles in 2021. That marked a 2% increase compared to 2020.
We have done a lot of work in the automotive industry, but there is still much to do. A car has more than 2,000 parts, and every day 4,000 cars are produced in the country. We do not have any other industries with such managerial, economic, and technological complexities.
The Iranian manufacturers currently produce 6 different types of vehicles, including passenger cars, 4WD trucks, buses, minibuses, and pickup trucks. The sector has directly employed about 500,000 people and many more in related industries. About 75% of local output is passenger cars, while pickups come in the second place with around 15%.
The auto industry is a key driving force in Yuan, the operation and prosperity of which keeps almost 60 other industries moving. The industry is only second to its energy sector, accounting for almost 10% of the gross domestic product. Saman Kujuri, Tehran.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we discuss about the problems, questions, and issues you have regarding the Islamic upbringing of your children. The answers are based upon the Noble Quran and the narrations of Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, and his purified progeny. Today in our studio, we have with us our guest speaker, Professor Salman Naqvi. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome, sir.
Thank you very much.
Professor Salman Naqvi is a faculty member at the Al Mustafa University and also a researcher on the Islamic issues in the Hawza Ilmi Afkum. So we have been discussing about the domains of behavior and their relationships. We discussed about the relationship with self. We discussed about the relationship with others. We discussed about the relationship with Wali. Now, what else do we have in store?
Yes, let us expand a little more about the relationship with the Wali.
True.
So it's just not something in a ritual sense.
All right.
The relationship with the Wali, starting with the relationship with Allah Almighty.
Yeah.
Whether it is the special relationship, that is the ritualist, in the ritualistic sense. When we go when we recite Dua Tawassul.
Yeah.
When we recite any prayers, we are continuously and consistently asking.
Start with the praising of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
We start with the praise of Allah, but we request the imams, the masumeen, to intercede for us on our behalf with Allah Almighty, because they are closer to Him.
They're closer
and
to
that,
Him.
And that does not contradict with the concept of monotheism or the unity of Allah Almighty.
Yeah.
Imamat is the extension of the authority of Allah. So it is the rope of Allah through which we can reach Allah.
Yeah.
And the message of unity, monotheism and unity of Allah Almighty can be brought down from the heavens to the earth through wilaya.
All right.
And as we said, wilaya has two facets. One is the because of the attributes, the worthiness of the human being to be close to God. Close to God, the proximity to God is becoming like Him in His attributes.
Yeah.
Because it is one of the ahadith says, تَخَلَّقُوا بِأَخْلَاقِ اللَّهِ. Become godly. Adopt the attributes of Allah Almighty. The more we our behavior becomes...
The much we get closer.
We become closer and our behavior becomes more divine.
All right.
It becomes godly.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes... The good behavior, it becomes the best behavior.
All right.
And that is what is being a good mu'min. That is what a good, competent person. When we talk about being a salih person.
Yes.
A person who carries out good deeds. It's not just good deeds in the sense, in the religious sense. It is good deeds.
It should reflect in your behavior.
Everything which we do carry out becomes good if it is done based on knowledge and skills, the proper knowledge and skill set.
Yeah.
So the concept of wilaya is proximity to God based upon attributes. And then that commands our respect, because that is why Allah says to the Holy Prophet, do not ask for any reward from your ummah other than the mawadda of the Ahlul Bayt.
All right.
So mawadda and the muhabbat and the love and the adoration for the Ahlul Bayt is a result of their proximity to Allah Almighty.
All right.
And as a result of that, we have to obey them. Obedience is a result of that respect and love and adoration we have for them. And that is based on their worthiness. Now,
exactly.
This has to be sequence of things has to be employed in the family unit by
exactly.
the parents and especially the head of the family. That unit of wilaya, the smallest cell, the smallest unit of the society has to be developed there with the concept of wilaya. The father, the parents should consider themselves to be an extension of the wilaya.
The parents can actually inculcate that thing into the children. I'll ask you after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIP English Radio.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. We have Professor Salman Naqvi with us, and we're discussing about the concept of wilaya, how we can inculcate the concept of wilaya in our children. Yes.
So, firstly, as we mentioned, we have to start from ourselves as parents. We have to acquire the knowledge ourselves, the skills ourselves to be good parents.
All right.
And to provide a system in the society, in the family, where the child knows that his life has to be for the sake of Allah Almighty, for the sake of clinging on and clutching to the rope of Allah, that is wilaya. And he should see his father as the role model for that.
True.
He should see his parents to be a role model, to be a reflection of the imams and their wilaya.
Yeah.
He should find them to be knowledgeable. He should find, the child should find his parents, and especially his father or her father, to be a person who has knowledge, who is skillful, who has good behavior, can manage his dealings with all other human beings in a proper way.
All right.
And he is based, his dealings, his behavior is based on good decisions.
Yeah.
Decisions are taken in consultation with others.
Yeah.
To get to the best available advice.
All right.
Even the wali, the imam, the ma'soom, the nabi is commanded by Allah Almighty, وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. If you want to manage the affairs of the society, then take advice from your companions.
All right.
So bring that down to the family unit.
Uh-huh.
The child should observe that his parents are discussing things amongst themselves.
All right.
They are discussing, for example, they want to carry out some activity.
So there's not just this blind faith kind of thing going on in the family. There are discussions, there's knowledge, exactly. There's intellectuality.
I mean, they're talking about issues. They are discussing things about the Prophet, the Imam, and generally everything that is required as a human being in society, in the family, whatever the needs of the family are, they are being taken care of by the head of the family in a very appropriate manner and in consistency with the general authority of the imams and in line of that.
All right.
I mean, the family should become an active member of the community as a part of that system of wilaya.
Okay.
As a part of that, the system of wilaya, the family unit should get incorporated in the ummah.
Ummah
should be together with wilaya, the wilayat of the imams.
The family itself has to cling itself very firm to the rope of wilaya, and then only they can teach all that to their children. Professor Nakavi, I'll be discussing this with you after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, raise your children to have three features: love for your Prophet, love for his household, and reciting the Quran.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. We have Professor Nakavi with us, and we're discussing about the relationship with wilaya and how we can inculcate that in our children.
Yes, as I was mentioning in my previous discussion, the concept of wilaya is just as the concept of Tawheed encompasses all the aspects and all our relationships and all our domains of behavior, the concept of wilaya, imama, is also fully encompassing every activity that we carry out. So we have to inculcate that in the mindset, the attitude of the child should be that, look, whatever I'm doing is for the sake of, for the cause of Tawheed, for the cause of wilaya. All my life should be for that mission.
All right.
And that should start with the parents. They should get incorporated in the society, in the community. And if we are looking forward to the advent of Imam Mahdi, ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, as believers in the Ahlul Bayt, and that he shall come and he shall fulfill the mission of the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt, and he shall fill the world with justice.
Yes.
He needs companions.
True.
He needs competent companions. So our children should be taught to be soldiers of the imam.
Yes.
soldiers, not in the sense, in the military sense, soldiers in every aspect.
Every aspect.
Let's come to the discussion about the environment, the relationship with the environment. I want to, I mean, continue this discussion because that was the fourth relationship which the family upbringing should also cover. So just as it is with a relationship with Allah Almighty, with myself, with other human beings, the relationship with the environment is also in the same continuity and under the focus, under the umbrella of wilaya.
All right. If the relationship with environment is something that's again related to this, I don't think in this session we'll be getting enough time to discuss that. But to end this session, I would like to mention that you said that we need to inculcate this concept of wilaya in our children so that they will be able to defend Imam wilaya tomorrow when Imam comes. And one of the lessons from history, we have one of the greatest lessons from Karbala. We saw children defending wilaya. We saw children recognizing the role of Imam, recognizing their role to support Imam, recognizing their role to defend wilaya. So in history, Karbala is one of the best lessons that teaches us all that. Thank you so much for being with us. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. In case you want to listen again, you can go back to our official website. That's www.parstoday.com. You can go to the tab, Call of Islam, and out there you can search Islamic Upbringing, and you'll find all our episodes over there. Thank you so much for being with us once again. And in case you have any questions, you have any issues, you have anything you want to ask about the Islamic upbringing of your children, you can feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Until another session, fi amanallah, God bless you all.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way. Islam solves all of our problems. Allah leaves no stone unturned. Perfect with no flaws at all are the laws of Allah.
Join us in this journey, IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
This is A to Z.
an introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, methods of respecting. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In today's lesson, we will talk about the topic of methods of the respect in the Islamic lifestyle. We know that Islam says that when you need to respect others, the first method is that in your speech, you need to respect others through your speech. And there are different ways of speaking. For example, sometimes you use an honorable way of speaking, sometimes a respectful, and there are other things as well. On the other hand, the second category, which falls under the methods of respect, is how to behave with the others. Islam says that you must, in your actions, in your etiquettes, respect your brothers. Practically, you need to show how you respect the others. For example, when it talks about the teachers, it is said that when you're present in front of your teacher, you must not talk in front of him. You must not take your voice above the voice of your teacher. And when you're present in front of your teacher, you must not talk to each other, because this way you're respecting your feelings, or you're respecting your teachers when you're not talking to each other, when you're not talking to others, and when you're not paying attention to the others in the presence of the teacher, and all your attentions are towards your teacher. And those who follow these teachings, those who follow this method, they have gained a lot in their life because of just respecting their teacher. And the respect of the teacher is one of the main things in the Islamic teachings, inshallah. Welcome back. You're listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. We were talking about the topic of methods of respecting others, and we were talking about the etiquettes and the behavior that we should have, how to practically show that we respect the others. According to one of the narrations which we have from the Prophet ﷺ, he said that whenever someone gives you a gift, when your brother in Iman is giving you a gift, take that gift and accept the gift, do not refuse it. And on the other hand, whatever you have tomorrow, if you have to give or you have to help him, just help him. And this makes or brings love between the people. This brings love amongst the society. And by giving gifts to each other, by respecting each other, by taking care of each other, you're actually practically showing that you are having respect, or you're giving respect to the others. And it is necessary to take care of the brothers who are in Iman, to be the support of each other when you're living at a place. Even if you know that there is a brother in Iman, there is a Muslim brother who needs your help, and if you run to help him, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is helping all of us, He is all merciful, He is all beneficent. Therefore, He wants us to benefit others, to give love to others, to provide help to others. He is the helper of all the mankind, and He wants us to have these characteristics that He have. If He is merciful, He wants us to have mercy upon people. If He helps us, He wants us to help the needy people. And this is how we can have a good society. This is how can we build a good society, a just society in this world, inshallah. Thanks for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thanks for listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/EN Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
in the limelight. Rates of anxiety and depression have decreased since first year of the coronavirus pandemic, but there are still aren't enough psychiatrists and therapists for millions of American patients. We now present you an article written by Eric Berger. The piece is titled, A Collective Trauma, COVID Keeps Its Grip on Mental Health of Many American Patients. Eric Wood, a mental health professional who leads virtual support groups for Indiana judges and attorneys, can look at a screen full of heads nodding in reaction to what someone said and know that the meeting is providing some relief for participants who have struggled during the COVID-19 pandemic. Eric Wood, who lives in Indianapolis, can also see how his wife, Diane Keller Wood, has made gradual improvements in her recovery from long COVID's significant effects on her mental and physical well-being. Eric Wood, a clinical case manager for the Indiana Judges and Lawyers Assistance Program, said, "This was probably me being more of a therapist than a husband, but I was really trying to get her to focus on the positive aspects and not to see everything with kind of a negative filter." He added, "And then eventually she started coming home from doctor's appointments saying, you know, I think I'm getting better." Still, Diane Keller Wood and the jurist, like millions of other Americans, have not fully recovered from the mental health problems connected to the COVID-19 pandemic and the surrounding societal upheaval over the last 2.5 years. While there are indications that at least among U.S. adults, the rates of anxiety and depression have decreased from the spike seen during the first year of the pandemic, they still remain higher than before COVID, and there still aren't enough psychiatrists and therapists. In short, while the pandemic is no longer the top story in the news each night, its ripple effects remain top of the mind for many Americans. Roxanne Cohen-Silver, a University of California at Irvine psychologist who has described the pandemic as a collective trauma, said, "In addition to those who died from COVID or lost a loved one to the virus, there are personal stressors that people have had to encounter on and off with restrictions in their activities, on and off with the possibility of getting ill. And all of those things have now been chronic." According to the National Center for Health Statistics, in 2019, 11% of American adults in the United States reported symptoms of anxiety and depression. In January of 2021, the number was 41%. A year later, it had fallen to 32%, which was still significantly higher than before the COVID pandemic. Before the pandemic, the Lawyers Association program operated monthly support groups for people struggling with problems such as addiction or grief. When much of the country entered lockdown because of the virus, the organization launched a weekly program, Connection Group, to help people grapple with the isolation. Wood said, "We have got some folks in the group that identify themselves as extroverts, and the pandemic was particularly difficult for them," adding, "Working from home really changed their sense of activity with other people. Conversations were cut. Anything social was just gone out of their lives," Wood said. "But even one of the litigators started again working in person. Their mental health challenges did not evaporate. In some cases, they got worse." Eric Wood noted, "When people started returning to the offices, attorneys in particular were just starting to fall apart," adding, Substance use for many really went out of control over the 2-year period. Depressive disorders also are on the rise. Eric Wood added, still, despite the mounting concerns and the novelty of meeting virtually, the support groups appear to work. People who previously might not have driven 2 hours to attend a support group could now do so from the comfort of their homes. Eric Wood added, the Connections group has created its own kind of sense of community. We have had people that came in when a crisis was particularly relevant for them, and then things settled down, and then they stopped coming to group, but it's really met a need. Once COVID restrictions eased, Eric Wood and his colleagues considered stopping the Connections group or meeting less regularly, but participants asked to keep the same schedule. After many people had stopped worrying about COVID, Diane Keller-Wood, a hearing aid attendant, contracted the virus in February of 2022, despite remaining vigilant about wearing a face mask. And then she developed long COVID symptoms, including difficulty breathing, fatigue, brain fog, loss of balance and eye twitching. According to the National Center for Health Statistics, almost 1 in 5 U.S. adults who have had COVID continued to have long COVID symptoms in June. Diane Keller-Wood has seen a long list of providers, including an ear, nose and throat doctor, a neurologist, a physical therapist, a psychiatrist, and an ophthalmologist. According to a study conducted at Washington University in St. Louis, Missouri, for about a month, she experienced suicidal ideation, which is more common among people who have had COVID. Diane Keller-Wood described it as the worst despair you have ever been through, with really no reason. Dr. Ziad Al-Ali, clinical epidemiologist at Washington University, who has studied the impact of the virus and long COVID on people's mental health, said, people with COVID-19 unfortunately have a much higher risk of having mental health issues. She said the psychiatrist prescribed Diane Keller-Wood a mood stabilizer, which helped me tremendously. Keller-Wood also connected with a member of a COVID survivors support group who recommended she try the over-the-counter drugs, Pepcid and Zyrtec, which studies have shown can help with some COVID symptoms. She said they helped ease Keller-Wood's brain fog, but some days she still has trouble forming words. She said, if I can just have quality of life and see some improvement, I think I will remain positive, but I don't know what my life is going to look like 10 years down the road. Another challenge is a lack of therapists and psychiatrists. According to Kaiser Family Foundation data, more than a quarter of the U.S. population lives in an area where there is a shortage of mental health providers. Dr. Ziad Al-Ali said, to address the swell of mental health problems, we need to be creative. He said that could mean the healthcare system forming support groups and social workers providing mental health care. Dr. Ziad Al-Ali added, the government has to do a whole lot more, and also the public has to be aware of this and restore some social ties and restore some sense of normalcy of checking on each other. Tim Bostwick, and opera singer and doctoral candidate in music at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, is working on a creative solution for his post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. He had never had significant anxiety or depression before being hospitalized for COVID in spring of 2021 and developing long COVID symptoms. He also developed nodules on his vocal folds, which prevented him from singing for 6 months. He said, since recovering from COVID, I woke up with nightmares almost nightly, most of them being back in the hospital. But his mental health has improved because of medications and cognitive behavioral therapy. In public, Boswick used to panic when he saw others not wearing face masks. He is now preparing to perform for the first time since the pandemic began. He'll be singing at Chicago Fringe Opera. He said, "Losing my voice was like losing an old friend, and we're not the same. We're never going to be the same. There's no going back to normal." He added, "But it's like getting to know an old friend again."
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وآل محمد.
السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. Thank you so much for joining us today in this session. I really welcome you all. And also, most importantly, our respected brothers here, Brother Sayyid Ali Nasir, Brother Fawad Haider, and Brother Hussein Ruhullah. Welcome to today's session. How are you, Hussein Ruhullah?
Fine, sir. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. How about Fawad Haider?
Fine. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. I'm good. How about Sayyid Ali Nasir?
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Okay. So we hope, inshallah, everyone is fine there out there, okay? So, inshallah, today, I have to tell you that it's going to be a review session, actually. So we have, alhamdulillah, finished our Quranic sessions in level 3, the Tajweed rules, the way to fluently recite the Quranic Kareem with Tajweed rules, fluently, without mistake, and beautifully. So, as you three brothers, you know that, alhamdulillah, we had a long journey, yeah? But yes. Safe and sound, alhamdulillah, we finished. We have arrived now to the last sessions of our long journey, the Tajweed rules. So, we covered whatever needed in Tajweed, whatever needed to learn about how to beautifully recite the Quranic Kareem. So today will be, as I told you, a review session. Inshallah, we'll be reviewing the whole lessons from the definition of Tajweed, from the word Tajweed exactly, and continue reviewing towards the last topics, which were like the mad. Yes? The yes. Types of mad and the kind of different cases of the mad. So, as I told you, this remember that this Tajweed that in this series of Quranic sessions we had, it was not like a professional one, like a what should I say, it's not like very much professional, okay? It was like in a normal class, like semi-professional, okay? Because professional, there are a lot of key points that we actually in this age and also in this situation, okay, to this extent that we are, we do not need actually to focus on them more, okay? But we, alhamdulillah, covered whatever needed up to this stage, up to this level, okay? like the level of reading and fluency that we had, level 1 and level 2, so after that, tajweed. So, inshallah, I hope that you yourself, after this, you are now, alhamdulillah, as a Quran teacher. So you have learned how to read the Quran Kareem and how to fluently read it, actually, how to recite it, okay, with tajweed rules. The one thing I told you at the very beginning of this Quranic sessions, maybe you remember that there was a hadith. Do you remember that hadith that we recited from the Holy Prophet of Islam, Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sallam? Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. And we had promised that we will remember that hadith forever, and inshallah, after we accomplish studying and learning how to read the Quran Kareem, we will go to fulfill that objective, actually, that promise. So what was that hadith? Do you remember?
What is the... If you learn tajweed and you don't apply it,
mm-hmm.
there is no, like, sawab or profit.
Mm-hmm.
Was it
that? Was it that hadith?
I don't remember.
Okay, but I remember who remembers?
The translation.
I think as the lessons are... as the lessons have come to an end, yeah, your memories... I've come to an end as well. No problem. The hadith was this, that Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ or خِيَارُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ. The best of you or the best of you among you are those who learn the Quran Kareem, and then after learning, they teach the Quran Kareem to others, those who do not know. Okay, so alhamdulillah, now you have learned. Okay?
Yes.
قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي قرآني نبض حياتي.
How to learn Quran easy? What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran? Be with Let's Recite the Quran.
So, at the beginning of this Quranic sessions with the other students as well, together we made a promise. We gave our words to Allah Almighty that, O Allah Almighty, you help us accomplish this mission, accomplish this, or kind of to go for this long journey, inshallah, okay, safe and sound. And after we finished, inshallah, whomever we see does not know how to read the Quran Kareem or does not know how to recite the Quran Kareem, we will help them out, right?
Yes.
So this was our promise. And with myself, alhamdulillah, I had promised myself that to any extent, as far as I know how to, for example, read and recite, I have helped. So these sessions that we had here, Allah Almighty had given me the chance to help you guys here and whoever listens to us. So it is your promise now. You got to fulfill this. Okay? You have learned, alhamdulillah, how to read the Quran Kareem and how to recite with tajweed and without mistakes. But you need to practice more and more, okay? All these tajweed rules, all the reading rules, okay? The fluency rules, you have to apply them in your recitation, in your readings, okay? Every day. It should be like a daily, on daily basis, you have to do this, okay? And remember that you have to start. One thing I have to tell you, okay? You got to promise. Do you promise?
So first you say.
First I have to tell you.
Yes.
This is a good promise. You got promise once?
Yes.
Okay. You promise, okay?
Yes.
So the first thing, I really wanted this, that when I learned Quran Kareem, first and foremost thing, the first thing that I will do is to help my family learn the Quran. But alhamdulillah, my family, my dad is my teacher. He was my first teacher. So he knows how to read and how to recite the Quran Kareem. My brother, he knows how to read and recite. All my sisters know. So there's no one in our family. My mother as well knows. But since she's like old enough, okay, now she's old and she cannot learn Tajweed rules. So it is difficult for her. So I can't help her and she's far away. But, okay, if there was any other person in our family who didn't know the Quran Kareem, it was the first mission, my first objective. It was actually my responsibility to help him or her learn the Quran Kareem. So it is now your responsibility that Fawad Haider, if he has a brother or a sister at home who does not know how to read the Quran Kareem, it's his responsibility to teach him. And this is obligatory upon you. Because you know, okay? Because you know how to read the Quran Kareem. It's obligatory upon you to teach them, to help them learn, okay? And then Hussein Ruhullah, Ali Nasir. And whoever listens to us and whoever have benefited from our classes. All right? Promised?
Yes.
Okay? So alhamdulillah, you've promised. Say yes, Fawad. Promised?
Yes. Okay. My sister knows already.
Alhamdulillah.
My family great. Knows already too.
Alhamdulillah. Okay, great.
But that was an example, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. So, Hussein Ruhullah, promise?
Yes, sir.
Alhamdulillah. So, alhamdulillah, your family, maybe they know, okay?
Yeah,
but if do. there is anyone, okay? Sometimes when I go to my sister's house, okay? And sometimes when I listen to her, she's like reciting Quran Kareem, and sometimes she makes mistake. Recites the Quran Kareem with mistake, okay? For example, instead of saying pronouncing the letter or the word with a fatha or a kasra, she recites with a dhamma or, for example, anything. So I rectify her mistake, okay? So she says, how do you know this? I recited this Quran, okay, many times, so I know this is wrong, okay? You have to fix the mistake. Then she fixes the mistake. So this is my responsibility. When I listen to her, if she has any mistake, I have to rectify that. I have to fix the mistake, okay? So if your family members, they already know, maybe sometimes they make a mistake. Yeah, they make a mistake. So fix the mistakes, okay? Understood?
Yes.
If they know better than you, ask for help. Okay? That's it. We alhamdulillah promised. So, inshallah, we hope that we should be able to fulfill our promise, inshallah, to accomplish this objective, this responsibility. Let's recite a salawat and go on for a review.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad wa ajil farajahum.
Let's recite Surah Al-Hamd together, inshallah, and then review, okay? A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.
Ar Rahmanir Rahim.
الرحمن الرحيم
مالك يوم الدين
مالك يوم الدين
إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين
إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين
اهدنا الصراط المستقيم
اهدنا الصراط المستقيم
صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم
صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم
غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
أحسنتم ما شاء الله. So the first thing that every teacher, now I'm talking to you as Quran teachers, okay, the first thing that you should focus in your classes, inshallah, it should be paying attention to the pronunciation of the letters, because all the words of the Quran Kareem, you see that they are made up with like letters, so the letters need to be pronounced correctly and from the exact point of our articulation, okay? So Dad must be pronounced as Dad, Sad must be pronounced as Sad, not Seen, okay? Dal, Dha, Ta, Ayn, Ghain, Qaf, whatever. All the letters must be pronounced clearly and correctly. Let's take a break, inshallah, okay? And we'll be back. Stay with us, respected brothers and sisters who listen to us. Thank you so much. Thanks to Allah Almighty, first and foremost. Thanks to IRIB English Radio and also Sevier International Schools Network. We will be back. Stay with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil fajr.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Supporters of Muqtada al-Sadr evacuate the area near Parliament in Baghdad following 2 days of deadly unrest. The West Bank city of Nablus becomes the scene of fresh violence as the Israeli military raids a Palestinian home. European Union member states are divided on tourist visa bans for Russians. Germany and France argue that the measure could prove counterproductive.